Exodus chapter 20, the Bible says in verse number 12 is our verse this morning, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and thy mother. You know, the breakdown of the home has become the fall of our country and our society and church. It's not a great challenge to see what has happened in America. You know, sometimes people look at the end of a thing and they don't consider where all that came from. You know, our country would never be in the shape it's in if our homes were not in pitiful shape in America. Our government is just a reflection of what's happening in people's homes. And when you have a breakdown of moral authority in the home, if you have a breakdown of respect toward God, if you have a breakdown of what is true and right and reasonable in the home, then society is going to reflect what types of homes that there are in that society, in that culture. And so people can try to blame all they want to on Washington, D.C., which God knows is just corrupt, is just as crooked as a dog's hind leg. I understand that. But if you really want to look at the problem, it's in the homes. That's where the problem has begun. That's where the terrible ruin of a society and a country, and also of the church. You know, the churches are in a sad state in America. And I want to say I thank God for our church. I really do. But I want to tell you this, that this church will only be as strong and as effective as the homes that make up this church. And if your homes disintegrate and if your what goes on at your house falls, then the work of God will also suffer and fall. It's just a reflection of what's going on in the daily lives of God's people. And so we need to see the battleground in the home. And we preached on the home just on Wednesday night. We're going through the book of Proverbs. And I said, you take the Bible out of the home and the home is ruined. And you take godly homes out of a country and the country's ruined. And you're living in that day. And you say, well, I don't, what can I do about that? You can't really do anything about that. But you can do something about your house. And you can do something about your life. And you can do something about your church. And you can do something about your family. And that's where this commandment is given for the inside of the walls of each of those homes of the Israelite people as it was given. And the Bible says again, honor thy father and thy mother. There's such a lack of honor today. Not just in the home, but just everywhere. People's behavior isn't honorable. The way people act and live is so dishonorable and disrespecting. I'll tell you where that comes from. When God says, honor thy father and thy mother, you can remember this verse along with that in Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, verse 6. God says, a son honoreth his father. And then he says, if then I be a father, where is mine honor? You know, the breakdown of the fifth commandment is really because there's a breakdown in people honoring God. And I say this, if we would honor God with our lives and with our decisions, if all of our lives would be honoring to the Lord, what a different life we would have, what a different home we would have, what a different culture we would have. But people are not honoring God with their life. They're doing whatever they want to do with their life. They're not considering, is this dishonorable toward God, or does this honor the Lord with what I'm doing with my life? Is your life honoring to God? I say this, you cannot honor your parents if you don't honor God. You just can't. It's just the breakdown of everything. And in honoring our parents, in honoring our mother and father, what does it mean to honor my father and my mother? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 21. The first word I would give you with that is the word obedience, to obey. It's dishonorable when children disobey their mother and their father. We have such a rebellious stubborn generation. And it's dishonorable. It's a dishonorable home. It's a dishonorable society. And to honor your father and mother means that you're obedient. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 21, the Bible says this about honoring your father and mother and shows how this individual did not. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. Deuteronomy 21, 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. I wonder how many people could do that with their kids today in America. The majority? I would hope not, but I wouldn't be surprised. How many children in America do you think obey their mother and father? How many children in America do you think are stubborn and rebellious? And then how many parents would have done what this was said to do? In Israel, what did they do? Verse 21. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shalt thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. You see, one of the purposes for discipline and chastening is for those children, those people to fear. The Bible even said in Leviticus 19, verse 3, that you're to fear your father and your mother. Did y'all know that was in the Bible? You know why it says they were to fear their father and mother? So they wouldn't be wicked. So they wouldn't do wicked things. And the reason that this judgment took place on this child here in this book is because the child was chastened and chastened and chastened and never did anything about it and never corrected and kept dishonoring the parents and was stubborn and rebellious. And so they said, kill him. You know, that's even what's going to happen to you as a child of God if you're not obedient to your father. Have you read Hebrews chapter 12? God says, whom I love, I chasten. And you know, we're the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If you're saved, you're a child of God. If you're not saved, you're not in the family of God. You're not, just because you're in church this morning doesn't mean that you're in the family of God. It doesn't mean God's your father. God's your creator, but that doesn't mean he's your father. He's only your father when you put personal faith in Jesus Christ. We're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. But if you put faith in Christ Jesus and you're a child of God, he chastens you. You know what? He'll speak to you, and if you don't listen, then he'll scourge you. And if you don't speak, you know what he'll do? He'll take you out of this world as well, just like the example of this text. I still believe that. I don't see it a lot. You say, well, I don't see God kill a lot of people. Well, maybe a lot of people don't belong to Jesus. Maybe a lot of people, their father's not God. God's not going to take out people that aren't anyway. So our problem today is, you know, this is capital punishment in the days of the nation of Israel. So you better be glad you live in the New Testament. In the days of Israel, it was capital punishment. But at least today, I mean, we don't even have chastening. Let alone capital punishment or anything like that. People laugh at it. I wouldn't laugh at a stubborn and rebellious child. You know what? You're just growing the next hoodlum. You're growing the next problem in society. God says, honor thy father and mother. And the breakdown of that is when you have stubborn and rebellious children that don't know how to be obedient. Now, the whole book of Proverbs, we've studied that. We're not going to go through that. About how to discipline children so that they will obey their parents. And the breaking of the fifth commandment is so serious that God even lists it in, you know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when God talks about the perilous times that are coming. I believe you're living in them. The perilous times that are coming in the last days, right before the Lord comes. One of the things he tells you in description of those days, he says it'll be a day where people will be disobedient to parents. In other words, they will throw the fifth commandment aside, and our whole culture is a testimony to that. that people live here. Now, wait a minute. I don't want to just get on the teens and the young people, because I tell you what, they learn that behavior. They learn that behavior because mom and dad won't discipline and won't show them the ways of God. But they also learn that behavior because somebody else is being dishonorable in the home besides them. Children don't obey their parents because wives don't obey their husbands. That is, now look, I know what I'm fixing to say is hate speech. I know it's politically incorrect. But the Bible tells us in Titus chapter 2 that wives are to be obedient to their own husbands, to their own husbands. Not everybody else's, but your own. So you got, thank God for that. We're not talking about subservience of all women to males. We're not talking about that. But you got a husband, the Bible says be obedient to your own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So it's blasphemous, it's dishonorable to God when a wife doesn't obey her husband, just like it's dishonorable to God when a child won't honor their father and mother and obey them. But now wait, I'm just going to stop there. Because the Bible says about that man, the head of every man is Christ. So what happens when a man doesn't obey God? Are we so naive to think that we've got a culture where husbands and fathers categorically are obeying Christ and letting Him be their authority? Here's the breakdown. So the husband, the father, is dishonoring God. He's not letting Christ run his life. And then the wife is being dishonored to God because she will not obey her husband. And so the children are disobedient to their parents because it's a culture of disobedience. We have a whole culture that in its essence disobeys God. And it's a breakdown of the home. And so if we're going to get back to honoring our father and mother, the whole home has got to be brought into subjection to God and say, God, we want to obey you. We want to do what you want us to do. Whether that's a child, whether that's a teenager, whether that's a wife, whether that's a husband or a father. And the commandment that God gave to the home, when we just ignore God's commands, everything breaks down. How do I honor my father and mother? Well, I obey them. How else do I honor them? Look at Exodus chapter 21, the chapter right after our text. Here's another way. Not just by obedience. Exodus chapter 21, the Bible says in verse number 17, "And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." I'd say that's not honoring your parents to curse them. Wonder how many young people are cursing their parents at home, either under their breath or to their face. Jesus even repeated this commandment in Mark chapter 7, verse 10. And not only that, it's not just cursing them, it's mocking them. You're not honoring your father and mother if you're cursing, if you're not obeying them, and if you're mocking them. The Bible says in Proverbs, man, who would do this? But I mean, you don't get out of the house very much if you don't know this is all across the land. Proverbs 30, verse 17 says this, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." That is my life verse for super church and for children's church and Sunday school. God says it's a very serious thing to mock your parents, to curse your parents, not to respect your parents. But I'll say this. You know, I'd say it's hard today for a lot of children to honor their parents because their parents aren't living very honorable lives. Now, that is no excuse for the breakdown of the fifth commandment. The Bible says, honor the king. The people that was written to, they didn't have an honorable king. Caesar was not honorable. He was wicked. There is nothing. There is nothing. And we do have a king. Americans have a king. They just don't know it. The king is in D.C. And anytime he wants to, he's going to take your land away. He's going to take your money away. You just might as well face that. There is a king in America. And everything about D.C. makes me want to throw up. I want them out of my life. I think they're wicked. I think their laws are wicked. But you know what God tells me to do? Tells me to deal with them in honor. Because just because they're going to be wicked doesn't mean I need to be wicked. And I need to have some respect in my life for some people that aren't very respectable. Now, you know why that's important? Because we live in a day where there's a lot of, guys, there are a lot of children growing up in homes. Their parents are wicked. A lot of times, there's not even mom and dad in the house. There's just one parent. And that parent, the things that that parent is doing even in front of that child, and the things that those children have to watch those parents do, it is so dishonorable, it is so wicked, that I'm not even going to talk about it. And if you have a mom and dad, if both of your parents are in the same house, you ought to thank God. And if they're not just overly depraved, you ought to thank God. But even that... You know, parents, children need to understand this. They look at their parents and they're short of the glory of God, and they've got sin in their life. And children ought to understand that your parents are sinners like you are, and they also have problems and needs. And they also have weaknesses like you. And it ought to make everybody pray. It ought to make everybody go to a God that is not weak and that has no sin and that has no problems. Say, oh God, would you help me? Would you help my parents? Would you help my mom? Would you help my dad? Would you help my children? Because we're all broken people. We all need God. And so just because someone has somebody dishonorable in their life doesn't mean that they should not show the respect that they should show. But oh, how much easier would it be if we had people that lived respectable lives and honorable lives that were worthy of that honor. I tell you what, I want to be an honorable dad and an honorable husband. I don't want my life to be a prick to somebody else, to disobey the word of God. The first thing I think every family member needs to look at their own life and say, is my life worthy of honor? Am I honoring God so that my family should be the way it should be? Only perfect kids should expect perfect parents. But at the same time, would to God that those parents would see what they're doing to the breakdown of the home when they don't live honorable lives. The commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, it's talking about obedience. It's talking about respect. It's talking about, you know, you honor your father and mother by loving them and being thankful to them. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4 tells us that we're to requite our parents. We're to pay them back. You know, every one of us owe our mother and father, we owe them love. We owe them thanks. And as life goes on, as my wife and I are finding out, we're going to have to owe them some care. We're going to have to owe them some help. And I tell you what, society is just coming apart at the seams. What do we do, preacher? Well, you get to God for your home. And you make this place an oasis of something different than what's happening on downtown and on Main Street. And the command, honor thy father and thy mother. God, help our homes to be honorable. But not just that, the command and then the promise. Look at it with me, will you? In Exodus 20, verse 12, the Bible says, verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Hold your finger there and go to Ephesians chapter 6. If it was not for Ephesians 6, I would wonder, well, can I claim this promise? You know, God does have promises for the Jews that we cannot claim. I mean, God promised to give the nation of Israel a certain plot of land. He didn't promise that to the church. There are promises that God gave to them that you don't steal them from. And then God gave some promises to the church that Israel never had. But then, wait, so this promise about honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the land of which the Lord thy God giveth thee, is that for me? It is. It is for you in the church. And God repeats that in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. God says this, this commandment must be so important to God that he attached a promise to it if you do it. Now that's so different because the other promise, he says, thou shalt not kill. Well, what if I do? What if I fulfill that commandment? Well, then great. But that there's no particular promise that goes with that. It is the first commandment with promise. In other words, God says, aren't you glad God keeps his promises? God is a promise keeping God. When he promises something to you, that's why he's promised us eternal life, and this life is in his son, and I know I'm going to heaven because God doesn't lie. He keeps his promises. Amen. But there, God's got a lot of promises. But all those commandments don't have a promise attached to them. It's just, don't do that, do that, and that's it. But this commandment, if you'll honor your father and mother, he says it'll be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And that's spoken to the church in Ephesus. They were not Jews. God reached over there and took that fifth commandment and he plopped it right down in the church of Ephesus. And God says this, I will do the same thing for you, Ephesian church. I'll do the same thing for you, body of Christ. I'll do the same thing for you, you saved people, that I said I would do for Israel if you'll keep your home right. You know what that means? That means a lot of people are going to die young. You say, preacher, our advancement with science and our advancement with medicine, people are living longer than they've ever lived. And our society is wicked, but people are just going to live longer and longer. And they're trying to find ways to even extend man's life way past 100 years. And don't you know all the advancements that are going on? God is so much bigger than that. You know what he can do? He can send a little virus that's related to a cold and start killing people all across the world. Have you heard about it? Do you think God has a hard time killing people? You know what I'm telling you this morning? I'm telling you this morning that how long you live can be connected with the promise of the Word of God. If the length of your life depends upon whether or not you keep God's Word, how long are you going to live? Now you say, preacher, what about all the wicked people that live a long time? Yes, the wisest man that ever lived outside of Jesus Christ wrote about that. Solomon wrote about that in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 12. And he talked about a sinner that was wicked and he did it 100 times, and yet his days were prolonged. Solomon's right. Now, I've been watching these wicked people, and man, they're living a long time. But you know what he said in the rest of the verse? He said, though that wicked sinner lives, though he lives a long time and prolongs his days, Solomon said, yet I know that it shall be well with those that fear the Lord. Look at your Bible one more time here in Ephesians 6. It's not just about living a long life. Do you know living a long life could be a curse? I tell you right up front, I don't want to live here one day longer than God wants me to be alive. Hezekiah tried that. It didn't work out very well. Oh, God, give me 15 more years. Didn't work out very well. Been better for him if he just went on to glory, amen. If he just went on to God, it'd been a lot better. He wouldn't have left that old wicked King Manasseh behind, that God never did forget what he did, even though he got right. Boy, that's something that ought to make us scared. God forgave Manasseh, but he never forgot about it. And he even sent the rest of the nation into captivity because he said, I just can't forget what Manasseh did. And that happened when Hezekiah said, I want to live a little bit longer. The best thing in the world for you, you leave this world when God wants you to leave this world. Living a long time is not always a blessing. But look at our verse, look at our promise. First commandment with promise, Ephesians 6:3 says, that it may be, what's that word? Well with thee, and thou mayest live long. It's one thing to live long, it's another thing to live well and live long. You see the difference? Yes, man can extend the life, but he's not going to live well extending his life. And God says, if that home will be right, you'll live long and you'll live well. Look at Deuteronomy with me, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and we'll start reading verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at this commandment with promise. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy sons and thy son's son, all the days of thy life. Watch it. And that thy days may be prolonged. He said, if you'll take this book, if you'll take these precepts, if you'll take my words and you'll live by them and you'll pass them on to the next generation and pass them on to the next generation, then your lives will be prolonged by living by the book that I gave you. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 32. Deuteronomy 5:32 says, ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, look at it, and that it may be, there's our word, well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Chapter 4, Deuteronomy. Chapter 4 and verse number 40. Well, look at verse 39. I like to read that too. Deuteronomy 4:39. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day. Watch it, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. God says, if you live by my book, then you'll not only live well, but you'll live long. Proverbs 3:1-2 says this, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. I tell you what, I would to God that we had at least Christian people, let alone the culture, believing that it's more important how they relate to God concerning how long they're going to live, instead of thinking science or medicine is going to determine how long you live. Is anybody listening to me this morning? God says, I determine the length of your life. Preacher, what about all the people that have been dying seemingly at an early age? Hey guys, people have been dying in early ages since man got here. I mean, you need to go read the biography of Robert Murray McShane, and you need to read the biography of Jonathan Edwards' son-in-law. Help me, Brother Mullins. David Brainerd. You need to read those guys' biography. And watch how some people that gave their lives to the Lord, they didn't live a long life. Let me ask you a question. When those missionaries died in Ecuador, when Jim Elliot and all those guys died in Ecuador, does anybody in this building think that you're a better man than Jim Elliot? Or those guys that died on that beach for Jesus? Anybody think you're a better Christian than they are? I'm not going to say that. I don't care if they were Southern Baptists or Methodists or whatever else the rest of them were. It doesn't matter to me. I've read what they wrote in their diaries.
Yeah, right.
I read where Jim Elliot got convicted for watching I Love Lucy. I'm telling you the character of these men. He's watching I Love Lucy and he gets convicted about it. You know what he's convicted of? That he didn't spend that time with God. That's the character of the guy that went down there and died. But he died young, and they left young widows, and they left children. Is God unrighteous? No, that was the plan of God for his life. And I just salute Jim Elliot, because soldiers, there are soldiers that die. You know what they're called? They're called heroes. And you know what? The cause is worth the death. So why should I stand up and say I deserve to live so long? No. Let God determine how long you live. And I think he will, in spite of what you do or don't do.
Right.
Unless you're ignorant. Now that's, you go out, you know, we have people so arrogant, they'll take something and they'll just twist it and they'll be unreasonable. Well, I'm just going to live until God tells me I'm going to die, so I'm going to stand in the middle of the road and see if the truck will stop. Well, you're foolish and you're going to die early because you can't shorten your life. You can prolong it and you can shorten it. You want to live a long time? You want to live a long time? It ain't going to be your diet, friend. It's going to be your relationship with God's book. Brother Mullen should have been dead a long time ago. I can't even believe he's sitting here today. You know why he's sitting here today? It's not because people are so smart with medicine. He's sitting here today because God don't want him to die yet.
Right.
And maybe he would have died earlier, but God's prolonged his days. Wouldn't that be something? If people got so serious with God, you don't believe that this morning. I'm preaching to people that don't even believe what I'm preaching. It's all right. It's okay. I'd say right now, half the people in this building, you don't believe that your life will be shortened or lengthened based upon how you interact your life with the Word of God. I guarantee you that most people don't even believe that. They don't even believe what I'm preaching. You know how I know that? Because we don't live like we believe that. If I really believe that the distance of my life and how well my life is going to be is connected with that book, then how serious am I going to be about what God said in that book to me? It's not well in America. It's not well in most churches, and it's not well in most homes, not even most Christians' homes. It's not well. You know why? Because we're not connecting our lives with that book. That it may be well with thee. If you'll just listen to my commandments, my statutes, my words, what I've given you in this book, if you'll just listen to it, if you'll put it into practice, not just believe it. God forbid that we would just be people that believe the Bible but don't live the Bible. The blessing doesn't come because you stand up and say, I believe every word of the King James Bible. The blessing comes and it's well with you when you live the King James Bible. When you put it into practice in your daily life and in your marriage and in your children, and God says, I'll lengthen your days. And you know what? If God prolongs your days, there's nothing COVID or cancer can do about it.
Right. Yes, sir.
If God says, I'm going to prolong your days and make it well with you.
Right.
How big do we think God is? They've gotten so frustrated with Southern American Christians. You do know that, don't you? And I read an article the other day. They said, and look, listen, I'm going to preface it. I don't care if you, we don't talk about the vaccine. I don't care if you've got it or you haven't got it. I don't care if you believe in it, don't believe it. That ain't got nothing to do with Christianity. I said it don't have anything to do with Christianity. It's got to do with your choice, your decision. I respect that. It ain't got nothing to do with Christianity. Nothing. It ain't in the Bible.
No.
Do whatever you want to do. I don't care. I do what I want to do. Do whatever you want to do.
Sure.
But they're so frustrated with some Southerners, Christian, because they said, oh, and they wrote a big article, put it out, wrote it up, put it on the media. So I tell you what, these stupid hick hillbilly Christians in the South, the reason they're not getting the vaccine is because they believe they're going to live forever and their life's in God's hands. They wrote that.
Right.
I just stopped and said, "Woo! You're right."
Right.
They said, these people aren't afraid to die. You're right.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, they ain't got nothing to do with vaccine 15 times a year. Do whatever you want to do. Go ask for more booster shots. Get all of them. Go to other countries and get more. They've got whole lots of. I don't care what you do. Ain't got nothing to do with God. But I tell you what, you thinking that your life is neither shortened or extended based upon God and your interaction with that book, now that's important. And that's what everybody is passing aside on. You know what we're going to have? We're going to have a country that dies young. You know why we're going to have a nation that dies young? Because we failed to do what God said in the book. Honor thy father. You think that'd be pretty easy, wouldn't you? Keep your home right. And yet it falls apart. Marriages, children, moms, dads. Tell you what, church, we need to get back to God, the one that determines the length of our lives. And if we want to live well, I bet you meet Jim Elliot in heaven. Hey, Jim, I'm so sorry your life was cut short. You know what he's going to do? He's going to look in your eyes and say, yeah, but I lived well. Boy, God's given me a good life. I wouldn't trade my life with Trump or Bloomberg or Gates. I'm telling you, I wouldn't. Or that weird pencil-headed dude with Facebook, whatever his name is, I forgot. I wouldn't trade places with him for a million years. God's given me such a wonderful life. And if I die today, Brother Mark, I've lived well.
Yes,
we only live well when we connect our lives with that book.